I forgot. I turn the master volume up on the fucking track, so it gets louder at the end.
We're off to the races already.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to War of the Bay. My name's Kyle.
And I'm Strink Twice TV, according to the Mixler chat.
Strink Twice? Oh, Jesus Christ. Did I just fuck that up? Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
I've got a whiskey sitting here with me. I got a beer, ready to go, so.
All right.
You can't blame me.
Get that whiskey. Always. Yeah. It's not War of the Bay unless you're drinking.
You can't blame me for that shit. Come on.
No.
Come on. Yeah. The music was playing. It's still playing.
God damn it.
Yeah, Nick can't make it tonight, so Anthony so graciously filled in during the Blackhawks and Lightning game, so.
Yeah, he's paying me.
Yeah, he's paying. And if there's any impromptu celebration in the podcast, you'll know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, Jesus
Christ. I can't
help
it.
Man, when we were doing the intro, I was I'm giving this guy shit on Twitter right now.
Who?
John Mamola, the program director for 620 WDAE.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking.
Unbelievable,
him,
dude.
You know what he said? I remember him talking about when we beat the night we beat the Rangers in Game 7. I was driving to go to Steak and Shake as I did that entire playoff run after we won. I just went to Steak and Shake after every win.
Right.
And he was talking about it. He's like, "Yeah, I'm definitely pulling for the Blackhawks." He's like, "Fuck the Bolts," and not so
really?
Many words, but yeah, that guy's a fuck face, man. You work here, like you live in Tampa,
yeah,
and you're just on the radio, just supporting the fucking Blackhawks willy nilly. Fuck you.
I guess his pedigree is that he's a fan of sports, but you can't do that.
No, not especially in Tampa. I mean, you know, come on, it's fucking Tampa. Like you're not in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, quit that shit.
At least if you're going to be a Blackhawks fan, don't be a dick about it. Put it all over your Twitter profile or I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Is he from Chicago?
What a dickhead. He's
He better be. At least better be from there.
He's a I don't know if he's from Chicago or not, but someone just tweeted at me from he's a Blackhawks fan. And
live Twitter fights about to go down.
No, he's a guy that actually I respect him somewhat. He's a Red Sox and a Blackhawks fan, and you know, take that as you will. I know it looks like he's jumping on a few bandwagons here.
Maybe a little.
But
the Red Sox haven't been that great.
He's always been a nice guy to me. And it looks like he's doing some denying on the on these allegations here.
Of course. So I guess, do you want to lead off with that?
Yeah, let's get right into that, because that was a jarring read that I read today. So for those that don't know, there was another story. It wasn't a news story. It wasn't any kind of official story. It was just kind of
it was posted on Tumblr.
It was posted on Tumblr. There was a series of imager photos of like a comment or something.
Yeah, it was a story by I don't have all the facts of the names and all that memorized. I just kind of read it and then kind of was like, okay, I don't ever want to read that again.
Well, it was an anonymous story.
They blurred out the names. I can't remember who posted it is what I'm trying to say, but they blurred out all the names involved except for Patrick Kane, who is currently leading the NHL in goals and points.
And they're saying he should be up for the MVP trophy. And
yeah, he's fucking the golden boy of the NHL right now. And this story comes out, and it's not surprising to anybody because Patrick Kane's already been under investigation for rape.
Right.
Before. He also punched a cab driver.
He's been accused. He's been accused of it.
He was under investigation, I think.
Was he? Did they formally investigate him and everything?
That
was the thing. I tried to look it up today on Wikipedia because I was
can't find much about it.
No, really. You can't. It's like it's been whitewashed from the internet.
I don't want to accuse him of that and then sound stupid that I got the facts wrong. So I'm not exactly sure, but I know that he was definitely involved.
Well, yeah, look at
something.
Look at our starting quarterback, and you can type his name in, and then all number of rape the rape allegation will come up against him. Like that's almost like one of the first three results that come up when you Google Jameis Winston.
Right, and with Patrick Kane, it's like buried.
Yeah, it makes me wonder why that is.
And it might have been because it didn't get as far as Winston's.
True.
But at the same time, it's fishy. It really is. And I'm not saying that the NHL is covering shit up or anything like that. I'd have no base to say something like that. But
that's the face.
It's just like he's their poster boy.
Right.
And him and Crosby and even his own teammate, Taves, those guys are like poster boys for the league, and especially Kane, because he's just tearing up the league on the ice right now. And this comes out, and it's just horribly graphic and just creepy, but it's not far-fetched at the same time.
Right.
This is definitely something that could have happened.
So I think like, how this came out was, or at least how I saw it and how I think most people saw it, was a woman by the name of Sarah Connors, Sarah_Connors. That's the original tweet that I saw.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So she has, it looks like some sort of a comment or some sort of a post on a website. And it's an anecdote. It's not an officially vetted story. It's internet comment.
The girl in the story says, "I see all this stuff about Patrick Kane to start it off. Like, I get notifications on my phone that he scored a hat trick and all this kind of stuff. And that's what I guess inspired her to write her story, to come out with her story.
Right, to come forward with it.
Obviously, a lot of people know that a lot of victims of this kind of stuff don't ever come forward. And that's horrible. And that's part of the reason. And the part of the reason for that is immediately they're called a liar.
Right.
By a lot of people.
I think, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know that there's a great number, if not most, of rape cases, they don't get reported immediately because of, you know, like there's like some shame involved with it.
Right.
There's some fear involved with it as well.
And especially with a guy like Patrick Kane, who's got a lot of money and a lot of star power, and someone that if you make an accusation against him, it's going to be big news.
Right.
It's going to be everywhere.
Right.
As you saw with the last girl that made an accusation against him, it was fucking everywhere for months.
And then people that are against Patrick Kane will, you know, immediately take the side of the girl and be like, oh my God, like they'll point at the stats that say, you know, the amount of rape cases that are, or the amount of accusations that are actually false is very slim from what I'm reading.
Yep.
I forget what else it is. But then of course you have the people that point out the fact that, oh Christ, I can't remember, but
I'm certainly not getting up on my soapbox and saying, oh, this is a true story, you know, 100%. But the fact that so many people can brush this off so easily and say, no, she's lying.
That's what it is. Like you have the people that come out and be like, oh, well, clearly she's just looking for a payday.
Right. You can't do that. I can't say that it's true, but I can't say that's a lie either, and neither can you. We don't know, but the fact that she comes out with this, you know, people don't do that. I mean, people do it for attention. I'm not going to act like people don't, but she very well could be telling the truth. And you're just acting like it's not even in the realm of possibility when this guy's already been under, you know, in hot water for something like this before.
Look, I'm just going to take the stance that this is a very complex issue, and I'm not ready to choose one side over the other.
Right. And no one should.
No.
And that's my point. No one should take a side. You shouldn't side with Kane, and you really shouldn't side with the girl either. We don't know. No one knows.
Nobody knows. No.
But let's not brush it off like it's not possible.
Right. I think having a conversation about it is a good thing ultimately, because it's
right.
You know, if the end result of this is that he is actually doing it and he cleans up, then there you go. Then everything is hunky dory aside from the terrible, horrible,
awful things he's already done. Listen. Patrick Kane, he probably, if I had to wager money, he's probably never going to get busted for something like this.
No.
If he did do it, it's probably never going to happen. But
just the way
it shouldn't stop people from coming forward. That notion that he's never going to get busted should not stop people from coming forward if he is out there doing this to people, to women.
The story itself, I read it today, the story itself is absolutely horrifying.
It's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't think we should really read it here unless you want to.
No.
or bits and pieces. But you can read it yourself. I'm sure you can find it.
Sort of paraphrasing the story itself. She talks about how she goes to a bar
in L.A. during the Cup final.
Right, she goes to a bar in L.A.
Or no, the Western Conference final.
Patrick Kane happens to be there. She goes over and says hi, and takes a picture with him. Then later, he comes over to her table and sort of grabs onto her shoulder.
He bought her a drink, I think. First.
Buys her a drink, grabs on her shoulder, invites her back to his place. And when she declines, he kind of squeezes her shoulder harder and you know, continues to smile and really make it obvious that she needs to come back to his place. Like, he really wants her back to his place while continuing to, like, apply pressure to her shoulder.
And she says multiple times he was very nice at first.
Right.
He was extremely nice, like a smile on his face. Like, he was, you know, like he wasn't being, like, violent, I guess, is for lack of a better term, with her. You know, he didn't look like his intentions were horrible
right
from the start.
No, yeah. He made it look all
copacetic. Which is obviously how most rapists are, I'm sure.
And fast forward to later that night, she's in the bathroom. He enters the bathroom, corners her in the bathroom, but proceeds to rape her. And
With his hand.
And, well, reading into the story, I guess it went into full-blown, the whole shebang. So... Yeah. Really, 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 really fucking awful, terrible, horrible
and
story.
And apparently he was smiling the whole time.
Oh,
and
even
on the way out of the bathroom, she could see him in the mirror. And it's just, you know, if that is true, that is one of the most horrible things I've ever read.
It is one of the most horrible things I've ever
it's
read.
It's one of the most horrible things I've ever read, even if it's not true.
It makes
just
me
imagining
wish it,
that situation. Especially if it is, that's fucking awful.
If it's true, I was like, it makes me wish that it wasn't true. I was like, oh god, please don't let this be true. Like, this can't happen, please. Like that, but like, it's that kind of shit does actually happen. Whether or not it happened between Patrick Kane and this woman, that stuff does happen. It does.
Oh, it totally does.
Yeah,
it totally does. And that's why going back to what I said, that's why you don't rule this out as not being possible.
Right. I think it's at least worth it to discuss it and have a discussion about
it. Is anything going to come from it? Probably not.
Probably not. No. Because
probably not. But this needs to be out there. These kind of things need to be out there, regardless if anything happens from them. They really do.
So let's see. I'm reading this Reddit post. This guy, he's a Blackhawks fan. He sends it to me, and he says, I'm a bit of an aviation/ATC geek. I did a bit of digging in this, and from what I came up with, Swift Air is the airline providing chartered flights for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah,
Blackhawks.
I heard about this.
On the 29th of November 2014, the only Swift Air flight to depart LAX was flight 2524 with a destination to Chicago O'Hare, taking off at 11:26 p.m. PST. According to the official NHL game summary, the game ended at 9:32. That just leaves barely 2 hours for the team to do post-game interviews, post-game workouts, shower, back to the equipment, get on the bus, go to LAX, board the flight, and the taxi out to the runway at 11:26 PST departure. There's no way Swift Air flights departed from LAX on the 30th. Or there were no Swift Air departures from LAX on the 30th. They didn't have to stay over, and they certainly didn't have the time to go out for drinks. This information is readily available from flightstatus.com if you want to check out yourself.
Yeah, I heard about that. There was a reporter that I think had put it in his article at the time that they were flying out that night.
Right.
But he came back and tweeted today that was never confirmed that they flew out that night. Who knows, man?
Yeah.
This was 2014?
Right.
Yeah, so a little over a year, 2 years ago, almost 2 years.
Look, it's going to be really, really fucking hard to prove anything in this.
Oh, I doubt anything gets proved here.
Right.
This isn't going to go anywhere legal-wise. But it's, like I said, it still needs to be out there that this might have happened, this might have taken place, and that this guy, and regardless, Patrick Kane's not a good guy.
It doesn't seem like it, no.
No,
it certainly
not.
Doesn't seem
he's
that
not
way.
A good guy. He's a piece of shit, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's what I would. That's what I've ascertained thus far from all of this. And you know, I haven't read too much into the first allegation, so I don't know enough to comment. But I mean, here's a second one that's come out. So let's see what else happens. You know.
Yep. We'll see what happens. He's got a long way to go in his career and a lot of time to fuck up again.
Right. But what I'm saying is this happened in 2014. He's been playing since at least 2009, right?
I think he was drafted in 2009. I'll check real quick. Hold on.
So he's been playing since at least 2009. So that's a lot of time for shit like this to happen. We have two people that have come out thus far. If more people continue to come out, then we'll kind of get an idea whether or not that this... you know, how much weight this story
by the way,
will
the
hold.
Top story on Google when you look up Patrick Kane is now that. It's no longer his point thing or anything
really?
Like that. Yeah,
oh,
it
good.
Says it's from AOL News, if people still read AOL News.
I think it needs to be talked about.
He was drafted first overall in 2007.
Yeah. He's had a legit allegation come out against him. I mean, he's had another, and I think especially me as a Bucks fan, I know that it's really not worth it to lie about this kind of shit when you're the accuser. It's there's really little incentive to do
especially
it,
especially to an athlete.
Right.
Because all you're going to do is get shit from
constant
people.
Constant shit.
And Blackhawk fans love Kane. I mean, he's like a fucking god in Chicago.
Right.
He's a Mr. Untouchable. They had a whole I support 88 hashtag, the first allegations that came out. These fans are fucking devoted to this guy.
Well, look what happened to
you. Really think they're going to take her side? I mean, maybe no. The fucking ones that have half a brain will. But not the rest of them, which is probably the majority.
Look what happened. What's his name? Joe. I think it's Joe Smith that covered the Winston case.
Yeah. He got. Oh no, Matt.
He
Baker.
Just Matt Baker.
That guy got death threats to his fucking family,
and he just covered the case. He didn't do like
he didn't do shit. He never made an accusation. Yeah. He never said anything but the facts that were coming out about the case.
He was just the dude that was like, okay, here's what's happening.
He was a messenger. Yeah, don't shoot the messenger, and everybody wanted to shoot the messenger. So a lot of Florida State fans did, and even people that weren't Florida State fans. I don't even want to rope them all together.
It's true, but if the messenger is getting that kind of shit, imagine what the accuser is getting. Just I could not believe what the fuck like would happen to Jameis's accuser. Same thing in Patrick Kane's case, and same thing with this woman here that's come forward today. I mean, I is any amount of shit worth that? You know,
if you can prove it, it is.
Yeah, I think.
But if they know, like, listen, like I know this happened to me, but I don't have a big enough leg to stand on, especially against a guy who's got all the money in the world to fund this shit and fight me, you know, in court till the very fucking end. You know, do you have enough of a case to fucking prove it? But regardless, you should still come out with it.
Right. The whole flight thing too. It's like, okay, the guy makes millions. You don't think he can just like afford a flight back to Chicago?
Right. They can get I think it was a playoff series and they were going back to Chicago anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they fly back as a team usually, but I wouldn't, you know, I think they all have to fly back at the same time. I don't think he
really
can get his own plane.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah, I think that's like team policy.
No, fair
or something.
Enough. Yeah, that's.
But regardless, like we started with, this certainly could be true.
Right.
It really could.
Right.
And that's the scary part about it.
I like that. I like that. We live in there's goods and bads the time that we live in. I just like that it's kind of come out and everybody can have a discussion about it. Now there are people that go to the extreme. There's a lot of people that go to the extreme on both sides. So
yeah, and of course, and if this was the first thing that ever came out, I wouldn't be calling Patrick Kane a piece of shit,
right?
Because you know, I mean, you can't. It's one accusation on a website, but this is not the first time,
right?
Makes you go, I wonder, you know, this is becoming a trend more than just a current, you know, just something that happened.
Right.
And the whole thing with the cab driver, you know, he's also had run-ins with the law. You know, he punched that fucking cab driver in the face.
Punched him in the head. Yeah.
He punched him in the head. Yeah.
And then all he had to do was say he was sorry, and that was it.
Yeah, because he's got money.
Yeah, if I punched a fucking cab driver in the head, like,
there'd
I'd
be no more word of the bank.
Yeah, I'd be in jail.
It'd be word of the jail stuff.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that shit.
All right. Well, so, I think we touched on it enough.
We can, yeah. I'm ready to move on.
I think it's ready to move on. This is just making
fucking
me sick.
It's dark.
To be honest,
that story was so dark.
Yeah.
So dark.
So let's go to another asshole.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Drouin this week came out and did not start for the game on. I think it was Wednesday.
He did not show up to the Syracuse Crunch game in Toronto.
So
he was actually there. I heard though he was sitting with the scratches that night. But I guess he made it clear he wasn't playing, which is basically you're not showing up.
Right. So the Lightning immediately suspended him indefinitely.
Immediately, indefinitely. And he's got to pay, too. He's not getting paid during the suspension either.
Right.
Now he's back home in Montreal. He's not even with the Crunch anymore.
I didn't know that he was French-Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's from Montreal. I don't know if he's from Montreal, but I know he's French-Canadian.
Oh.
So, yeah, he's back in Montreal. He's not even with the Crunch. I guess we can go back to where this started. He was sent down. Yzerman made it very clear, as he said in his press conference today, that this is a conditioning stint. He made that clear to Drouin and his agent. This is a conditioning stint. And in, you know, 2 weeks, he'll be back because he's been injured a lot this year.
Right. He's had,
and they wanted him to get down there and get his groove back, and then he can come back and rejoin the team.
But just general, he's been
as
injured.
Soon as he went down, I think it was maybe a day later or not even, they come out and make it public that he requested a trade in November. And Yzerman said today, when they did that, it changed the whole timeline for him being in the AHL. Everything changed at that point.
When was this? When what happened?
When they came out the first time and said that he had made a trade request in November when his agent made that statement.
Right.
Yeah, Yzerman said today, as soon as that happened, the whole timeline for him being in the minors changed. Now he's going to stay down there for a while.
Right.
So, you know, he played, I think, 6-7 games with the Crunch. I'm not too sure. I know he played quite a few, and then yesterday we find out he's a healthy scratch. And of course everyone immediately thinks that he's going to be traded. Cause that's what usually that means when you have a prospect like that, that's a healthy scratch. The team that's getting him is trying to protect him. They tell the Lightning, hey, healthy scratch him until this trade goes through. We don't want him to get hurt.
Right.
You know, and he just doesn't show up, and he didn't show up.
Yeah. When that first happened, when I saw that he wasn't starting, I'm like, oh shit, he's getting traded tonight.
Yeah. This is it. He's going to be on the move pretty soon.
Right.
And I was watching Twitter like any second now, here comes a move. And sure enough, I think it was Eric that tweeted it first. Druid's been suspended indefinitely. And then you go, oh, what for? And didn't show up to the game tonight and go, oh
yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I know what his agent is trying to do. Okay, they're trying to force Yzerman's hand. Listen, your client signed a 3-year contract, okay, with the Lightning. He's a fucking, you know, his job is to play hockey for us. That's what we pay him for. That's what the Lightning pay him for. You're not going to strong arm Yzerman to trade him for fucking peanuts just because he wants to go to another team. It's not happening. It's in his best interest to fucking play.
Do you think that do you really think that Yzerman is just going to stand strong and just say
he might leave him down there to fucking rot now?
I wonder.
Listen, and then his agent releases a statement saying the Lightning told us a trade was imminent, and when we asked for if it was okay for him to sit out, they said no. And then Yzerman said today, I never told them a trade was imminent. I never once said that.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if Yzerman knew back in November that Jurin wanted to be traded, and it's still, and here we are in January, and it comes out, and it still hasn't been done, then I mean, now that this is, what else is the guy to do? He says, "Look, I don't want to be here. Can you trade me, please? I just want to leave."
Look, and I think Yzerman had all intentions to trade him. I think if Druin had kept his, you know, if Drew and his agent had just stayed quiet and just he played the games, I think you would have seen a trade. But now you're making a stink. He's not with the Crunch. Okay. And you're trying to make the organization look like shit is what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying. And like I said, they're trying to strong arm Yzerman into trading him. And it's not going to fucking work. He's not. Yzerman's only going to trade Druin if it makes sense for the team. He said that like at least 5 times now. It seems like I'm only trading him if it makes sense for the Lightning.
He's going to force him to be a team player one way or the other.
Right. You're going to fucking play for the Crunch. And that's the end of the story until we decide what we're going to do, you know, until we get a deal that makes sense.
Right.
Instead, they took it in their own hands to do this. And now they're in even deeper shit.
But still, the whole reason why we're here in the first place.
And that was what I was getting to next. But go ahead.
Yeah. The whole reason why we're here is because he was mishandled in the first place. I mean, how many Lightning fans on Twitter right now do you see that are completely against Druin? How many of those guys in the Stanley Cup playoffs had the hashtag of free Druin?
Tons.
And
people were tweeting at him and all this shit. And I'm like, listen, okay, it doesn't change the fact that Druin's a fucking hell of a hockey player. Okay? It doesn't. He's 20 years old. Yeah, he's still got his whole career ahead of him.
Like I said to you before, tell that to him. I mean, he's been told his whole life that he's going to be the next Gretzky. I mean, but
he's been told he's really good. He's always been either the first or second best player on his team because he was on a team with Nathan MacKinnon in the juniors. So
yeah.
He was probably the second best player on that team.
Right.
But still, he was on the top line and all that. But
he's the next Paul Coffey.
Yeah, exactly. And MacKinnon got all the attention, and Druin was just there putting up points.
You're gonna be the next Coffey kid. Hot Coffey, come on.
Hot Coffey, man. But So yeah, he got up here last year, and sure, he's 19 years old. Sure, you do okay. I didn't want him to fucking sit out for Morrow, but we were winning, and I couldn't say too much, you know. But this year he comes in, he improves his defense, he does everything he's asked, and then he plays on the top six. He plays with Stamkos, and I'm thinking, okay,
here we go.
Great, here we go. It's coming together. Here, you know, here's our winger for Stamkos that he's been looking for fucking, you know, since Marty left. You know, everything's going to be peachy, and this season's going to be great. And then he gets hurt. Okay, whatever. You know, players get hurt. He'll be back. And then he comes back, and he's back on the fourth line.
Right.
Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
You know, and Cooper came out today and said that it's his fault. Yeah, no shit.
But why is it his? I mean, what did he do?
He didn't play him on the fucking top six. He didn't put him in a position to succeed and prove his worth. He put him on a fucking grinding line with Brian Boyle, I love Boyle, but he's not fucking a scorer, you know. And people were saying Drouin didn't earn his minutes, and I'm like, how the fuck is he supposed to? He's not playing.
I wonder if
you can't earn anything if you're sitting on the bench all day.
I wonder if this is why everybody calls him a bust, you know, because
they called Victor Hedman a bust too.
Yeah.
Well, when he was young, they called him a bust. They called him a cone. They called him whatever fucking name in the book. And now everyone loves Victor Hedman.
Right. Because and why is that? Because Victor Hedman was being underutilized in the system, or at least
he still had to learn. He was fucking young.
Well, that's true. Of a defenseman. But I mean, he put in his time. I think after year three, everybody was kind of like, what the fuck's up with Hedman? And now he's a can't miss guy.
That we're going to sign to a 7-year deal. Hopefully,
Hey, his agent's he's got the same agent as Drouin.
Yeah. God damn it.
I think that I just wonder because you know when people used to say that Hedman was a bust, and when you know he put in his time, and then it still seemed like he wasn't playing that well until John Cooper got there, and it's like, hey, why don't we do this? You know, why don't you play like this?
Yeah, they fit his fucking style.
Right. I just wonder if that's being done with Jonathan Drouin.
Our defensemen are so about joining the rush and getting in on the offense and all that. And that's the part where Hedman excels. He's also really good on defense. He's one of the best skaters on defense you'll ever fucking see. I mean, the guy's fucking huge and he skates like a forward.
The guy plays both ways.
Yeah, he's great. And listen, I know Drouin... I know Drouin's defense is not the greatest. We all know that. But that's not what he's out there for. Neither is Stamkos, and no one bitches about his defense.
Right.
I mean, Stamkos fucking he can play okay defense, but he's not great. You know, but that's not what you put him out there for. You don't put Steven Stamkos on the ice to go shut down another forward. You put him out there to go score a goal.
Score a bunch of goals, kid. Get out there and fucking shoot the puck.
And you put Drouin out there to fucking make plays for those guys, and he can also score too, but he was treated so differently than everybody else by Cooper. I mean, you know, people would go out and they'd come back and their spot was waiting for him.
Right.
You know, this guy gets put on the fourth line for no reason and spends a whole year getting scratched for Brendan Morrow. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Of course he's not going to be happy, but at the same time, you don't handle it this way.
Hang on just a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that the thing is with regards to like the way Yzerman is handling Drouin, Yzerman's a former player.
Right.
And he was a player that immediately cracked the starting lineup. So
yeah, I think he was maybe 20, I think.
It just makes me
playing for the Red Wings.
He did, yeah, and it makes me wonder, you know.
He was a captain before he was 25, I'm sure of that. Yeah.
So, I mean, Yzerman was fast-tracked. So, I mean, what is he, like, sitting back and saying, hey, you're not as good as me, kid?
Well, you have to realize that Yzerman doesn't control the lineup. He controls the players that he gives
true.
To Cooper.
That's true.
Cooper controls the lines and the power play and most of the stuff. You know, there's a lot in the situation that's fucked up, in my opinion. And I don't mean that to say that like horrible shit's going on, but you know, that I just think there's blame to be placed everywhere here. At first I wasn't putting a whole lot of blame on Drouin. I was putting some, but not a lot because he just wanted to play. But then you go and pull this stunt with your agent and you expect it to fucking, you know, you expect Iserman to fucking just turn around and go, okay, yeah, we'll trade you, you know, fucking tomorrow. No.
Right, just bow down and be like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. No, it doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. And it hurts me because I followed Drew in before we drafted him. I was fucking ecstatic the day we drafted him. I was like, fuck yeah. Like, like it's almost like your favorite fucking college player getting drafted to your NFL team.
Right.
Like, you know, like a lot of people with Jameis Winston, like, think about that. That's how it felt for me. But, you know, now, fuck, we're going to lose him. He's gone now.
He's, yeah.
There's no recovering from this. Oh, Iserman can say that, oh, we're going to mend the fences and all that kind of. No.
No.
He's gone. He'll be gone soon. But it'll be for a good deal. I can guarantee you that. It won't be just to get rid of him. Because we can't afford that. We can't afford to lose Druin for next to nothing. Because there goes a big piece of our future. And who's only 20 years old, you got to be able to get something back for that. That can also be a piece for our future.
That's the dice that Jonathan Druin and his agent are rolling. It's like, hey, let's just fucking see what, like let's try to force their hand and see if they're going to just trade us away from a couple of jabronis and you can be out of here.
And there's a lot of teams that are interested. There was I think it came out like 12 teams have called Iserman about Druin.
Yeah, a lot of teams.
And a lot of deals on the table, and who knows how many are left now with this whole situation. I said on Twitter that I don't think his value got cut in half, like people were saying and all that, but it definitely went down a little bit. You can't, you know, it's fucking the teams don't want to deal with this kind of shit, especially from an agent, you know. And I guarantee you, Iserman is fucking on fire when he heard about this, you know. But he's not gonna he's not gonna show that in the media or
those
anything.
Steely
like that.
Eyes, like you son of a bitch.
You fucking, I'm gonna come choke you, and you don't even know I won cups.
One on one, me motherfucker.
One on one, fair. I won Stanley Cups. You fucking didn't do shit.
1v1. 1v1. Like Gordon Bombay in the fucking end of D2.
Yeah. Knuckle puck. No, but.
it's a really fucked up situation. And I don't know. I kind of applaud Druin a little bit for having the balls at least to do it and trying like kind of Hail Marying it, like fuck it, let's see what happens. Like, I don't know, I don't want to be here anymore, so why play? So I'll just take my trade value, see if they'll just trade me for nothing, and then I'm done. There I go. Wherever I go, I'll be the star player. And I got to applaud him for that, but I mean at the same time, when you look at the way that Druin was handled by the organization thus far, and you look at some of the other things that have happened with the other star players. I'm talking about Marty St. Louis, and I'm talking about Stamkos not having a contract yet, and this has been brought up a few times this week. If we weren't winning, then this would be a real problem. It'd be a real big problem when people look at our front office and say, hey, what's going on here? Why are some of these high-profile, highly talented players wanting out of Tampa? What's going on? I think it's something. There's something to that, I think, and I think it all goes away because of the winning. I think I lost Anthony. Anthony, still with me? You might be gone. Did you unplug your microphone, sir? Well, you know what? Now is as good a time as any to take a break. So let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll fix the audio problems with Anthony. We'll see what the fuck's going on. And you know what? I'll check the Blackhawks and Lightning score. So we'll be back after this break. Boom shakalakalaka. What's up, guys? It's Kyle here to talk to you about audibletrial.com/shark. I'm interrupting this podcast. Fuck this shit. I'm coming on in. I'm muscling in. I need to tell you about some books, son. If you go to audibletrial.com/shark, of course, as you know, as frequent listeners to this podcast, I've been saying this for close to a year now. Happy anniversary. You can get yourself a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. You can get one of their 180,000 titles. It's a great service. I use it a lot when I am driving or when I'm at the gym or when I just don't feel like reading. When I don't feel like reading. So it's... You know, they just put all the Harry Potter books out there, as narrated by Jim Dale. It's like classic shit. You can go and hear any number of books. I just read The Martian by Andy Weir. That's on Audible. And it's a very entertaining look at the, well, it's actually a really good look at the you know, what it could be like to land on Mars. But if you've actually seen the movie, it's a good thing to, like, read the book or at least listen to the book, and you get a little, like, you get a little content, you get a little stuff that they couldn't throw in the movie, read in the book. So once again, that address is audibletrial.com/shark. Go there now. If you have an Android, an iPod, a Kindle, an MP3 player, guess what? They got books for you, son. Hey, okay, we're back.
We're technical difficulties.
I knew you were gone. I knew you were gone when, like, you weren't responding to me in that rant. So I was like, oh, Anthony's gone.
I'm gone.
He's out.
Goodbye.
I got to complete this rant and then be like, okay, let's cut the commercial quick. Oh, shit. So we're watching, or Anthony's watching the second half, or not the second half, the second period of the Blackhawks and Bolts game.
Yep, it's going well, but we're not getting rewarded, which makes me nervous.
That's not a good thing.
Nope.
It's like, just like the Packers last week, keeping the game too close.
Yep. So let's move on from the Lightning.
Fuck, you know what? We haven't talked about those games yet.
Which games?
The divisional games.
With the Panthers and stuff?
With the Panthers, yeah.
Oh, it was fucking sweet, man.
There was two. Also, they were all snooze fests, except for the Packers and Cardinals.
What a fucking game that was, man. Oh, score! Kucherov!
Cooch!
Fucking laser on the power play.
Oh, beautiful. Who got the assist?
I didn't see, but it was fucking gorgeous.
Lovely.
Yes, 22-8 in shots.
BRB, let me just text John Mamola.
20th goal for Cooch. Come on, how can you get this live coverage anywhere else but Word of the Bay?
he just tweeted out when the Blackhawks scored their first goal, he just tweeted out at one. So when we tied, I quoted him and said one. Now I'm going to quote him and say two.
Hedman with the assist. Another point for Heddy.
Fuck this guy.
What a fucking shot. That was beautiful. But anyway.
Anyways, so. Okay, yeah. Back to football. No, let's see. What was the first game that day?
I thought it was
Kansas City, New England. That was a snoozer.
Yeah, that was a snooze fest. That game sucked.
Yeah.
Hey, look, New England's going to the Super Bowl again.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's just the way it is. The fucking Peyton Manning can't throw a football anymore.
Old man Peyton. He's gonna get eaten alive out there.
Whippersnappers back in my day, I used to be able to throw this pigskin over them mountains. Like,
but you know what? The thing is, like, Denver has a hell of a fucking defense. Like, Denver has a great
defense. They really do.
Yeah. So,
but I think New England's offense is, like, designed to just fucking, like, pick at you and pick at you and pick at you and pick at you until they're in the fucking end zone. So, like, any even really good defenses can't cover, like, 2 yard outs.
No,
like
a long time friend of mine, I saw on Facebook, he said something that was really I couldn't help but agree with it. He says you never bet against the Alabama Crimson Tide, and you never bet against the New England Patriots.
I can agree with that.
It's true. Yeah, so
it's so fucking true, man. It's so true.
Part of me, like a small little percentage of me, wants to see the Patriots win the Super Bowl just as a fuck you to Goodell and the NFL, as just like,
yeah, like, hey, we didn't cheat and we still won the
Oh, we're cheaters, huh?
And they weren't really. I'm cheating. I mean, I guess it technically is cheating, but what the fuck? It's air pressure in a football.
Yeah. How about that, you piece of shit?
Yeah, we just won another Super Bowl. Or what are you going to do now? As Bill Burr fucking talking about Jim Irsay.
Yeah. Sitting on the rules committee. Oh, God. Speaking of the rules committee, I just saw this week that the Packers were one of the teams that voted against the, or there was like some sort of vote about the overtime structure. But the way overtime is set up, and the Packers are one of the teams that voted against the current system. They wanted to see a change. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, when I look at it becomes evident to me in a game like the Packers and the Cardinals that the system that we have now doesn't work because.
But what are you going to change it to?
I think that.
They already did, like, if you kick a field goal, you don't win. If you get on first possession, if there's a field goal, you don't win. I thought that was a good change.
I think I think each offense gets a possession. And then after that point, I don't know. Yeah.
Sudden death. I mean.
Yeah, it's tough to decide. Yeah, you're right.
I can see, like, if the team score, no matter what the score is. So, like, if a team scores a touchdown, you have to score a touchdown in your next drive or you lose. If a team scores a field goal and then you score a touchdown, like they have it now, you win. I do think both offenses need to get their hands on the ball at least once in an overtime.
I think this fucking
tie bullshit needs to go away.
Oh yeah, no more ties. Yeah,
no more ties, because if you do that, then there's going to be a lot more ties.
I almost want to say, do like college does, do the, like sit the ball
the 25-yard line.
25-yard line. Yeah,
I've been to college games that do overtime, and it sucks, man.
Does it?
It's fucking weird. And like. If a team kicks a field goal, if your team goes first and kicks a field goal, it's like, well, they score. You know, they got 25 yards to fucking end the game on a touchdown. Or if you miss, if you don't get any points, so okay, they're already in field goal range, so they're just gonna run the ball four times up the middle and then game over if they have a good kicker.
Right.
I mean, I love college football, but I do not like their overtime system, and I don't think it would work in the NFL. I think people would get upset.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, because it's true. Like, at that point in the game, in the fourth quarter and in overtime, the offenses are so – it's so lopsided between offense and defense. The offenses all have the advantage at that point. That it's like it just comes down to who's going to make the defensive stop.
By the way, end of two, Lightning 2-1.
Beautiful.
Up 23-9 in shots.
Let's keep the goddamn gas pedal down in the third period. Let's bury them.
But we had the Patriots, and then we had the crazy fucking Packers, Aaron Rodgers voodoo wizardry and bullshit.
I think something needs to be done about that overtime, like the overtime thing. I don't know what it is. I think like you said. Both offenses at least need to have a possession.
I agree.
But, Jesus Christ, that game is fucking amazing.
Holy shit. And, Rodgers, I don't care what anybody says, Rodgers is the best at throwing when scrambling.
Oh, God.
He's the fucking man. When he gets outside the pocket, I'm like, he's going to fucking hit a deep ball. Watch. He just guns it.
Unfucking believable. I don't know how anybody does that. Nonetheless, running from just like 300-pound dudes on the run, full sprint, and just throws a beautiful pass downfield
across his body.
Yeah.
He's just fucking like, and it flicks out of his hand.
How the fuck does that happen? And then I was sitting. I told the story on the solo podcast I've been doing. You can hear that.
A little while with Kyle.
If you go to sharkdropper.com and check out the Patreon button that's next to the home button, you can check that podcast out if you donate a little bit of money to us. But I offered my take on that. But basically, we were sitting at Green Bench, and it's just a normal brewery. Nobody's really. To me, it looked like nobody was really paying attention to the game. Everybody's kind of talking amongst themselves and casually paying attention to the game. And then as soon as Aaron Rodgers throws that Hail Mary touchdown, the place goes fucking crazy. The whole place goes nuts.
I was like, as he was rolling out for that Hail Mary, I was like, there's no fucking way he's about to do this again. And I was like, and he kept looking, and I'm like, there's no, if he does this again, I'm going to fucking freak. Sure enough, and of course, the white guy that only had like two catches the entire season had two big catches on one drive. And
I think Rodgers, right before that play, he threw it away with 6 seconds left. And I'm like, oh, 6 seconds left. There's no way. The game's over here.
Yeah, right. And didn't they put some time back on the clock?
They put a little bit of time back on the clock. So Rodgers
9 seconds.
Barely gets it off. I think he's like still directing traffic.
I remember what happened. He didn't spike it for whatever reason. He saw something. Didn't he? Or he saw something, and then they got up to the line, and I think there was like a false start or legal motion or something like that.
I believe he made the right play on the play right before that. He just kind of threw it away to preserve time because there wasn't anything open downfield. So I think he just kind of threw it away to, he knew it was going to be a Hail Mary either way.
Can you imagine if Arizona had lost that game?
Oh, God, that would have been incredible.
The most heartbreaking thing.
Packers win the Super ever. Bowl. Packers.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I said. I said on Twitter, I was like, if the Packers fucking win this game, they're winning the Super Bowl.
Definitely.
It's a fucking team of destiny at this point.
Yeah, two Hail Mary passes and one fucking season. Yeah, there's no way.
I said that about the Seahawks, too, though, when the kicker missed the field goal.
That's true.
All know that went.
Good. Good fuck them. I hate the Seahawks.
I like Cam Newton, man. I can't help it.
You like? I hate him.
I like Cam Newton. I can't fucking help it. I think he's fucking amazing, and I think and I love how he's just like fuck you to all the people that are like he doesn't like him dancing and all that shit. I just think it's so overblown. He can, let him have fun, man. He's a fucking football player.
I guess. You're right.
And he's really good, too. Like, he's really fucking good.
I'm just so bitter, and he is really good. He's like the next crop of quarterbacks that's going to he. When people talk about who's going to be the next Brady, Peyton, or Manning, or Breeze, he's going to be one of those dudes. He's going to be up there with them.
I agree with Derek. I do wish he didn't play in the NFC South, though. I wish he was another division, maybe even the AFC.
Oh, God. If he played for, like, Kansas City, I'd be like, fuck yeah, Cam Newton!
Cam Newton!
Yeah! Holy shit! Yeah, I'd love watching that dude, but he plays in the NFC South, so I hate him so much.
Man, if they had blown that game, holy shit.
Oh, that would have been beautiful.
That game was dude, this, and I knew it, too. When they went up 31-0, I was like, the Seahawks are going to come out on fire.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to be so pissed. And sure enough, they made it close. And if they had kicked that field goal instead of trying to get the touchdown, they would have ended up tying it, I think.
Yeah. I remember watching that. And I'm like, oh, that's a, I guess you got to go. Most people will say take your points, but I was like, I guess at this point in the game, fuck it. Just go for it.
You're down 31-0 or whatever it was.
Got to get something going. But Troy,
can we put the fucking thing to bed? And I know Bucks fans are going to hate me for this, that Lavonte David is better than Luke Kuechly.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
not.
No, he's not. Close.
We played that narrative like a fiddle for like a year. He's not better. Sorry, look, Luke Kuechly's a fucking animal.
Hey, look. Let me put it to you like this, though. If Lavonte David had the kind of consistency that Luke Kuechly did, then I'd say it might be close. But now that we're switching coaches out every 2 years, it's clear to me that he's way better.
Yeah, Derek, I know it's two different linebacker positions, but they were being compared like crazy like a year ago. Like every time one of them did something, it was like David's better.
Derek Sharpell in the Mixer chat.
Yeah, in the Mixer chat. Yeah, sorry.
So
people, yeah. I'm not used to the live chat.
Yeah. No, he's got a point, but I still think that when you know. They were compared a lot early on in their careers.
Right, and that's partially because the Bucks could have taken Kuechly, but they didn't. They passed up on him.
Right.
For Mark Barron.
Playing for the Reds.
We could have had Luke Kuechly and Lavonte David in the same fucking game.
Whatever. We could have had Adrian Peterson. Instead, the guy that we got is dead. He's no longer living. He has died.
I had this conversation the other day because I was like, I think it was Bucks Brief that was talking about Clemson D linemen or whatever like that, because there's a few in the draft that the Bucks might look at. And I was people were like, no Clemson D linemen. And I was like, why? Because one of them died. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assholes.
Yeah, Derek, he says Alexander is going to be great for us anyways. I tend
so
to agree.
Too. I
yeah.
like Quan a lot.
Yeah. Although I'm interested to see how the defense transitions under Mike Smith. I know Mike Smith runs a 4-3, so that's not going to change. So the personnel-wise, I don't know how much different we'll be. I'm sure a lot more Atlanta Falcons will be on our team, our former Atlanta Falcons.
I fucking hope not. I said we need to... Coaches need to stop that shit. You need to stop taking your scraps from other teams and bringing them to your team just because they might fit your system. We just had that, and it didn't work at all. Like,
look. Whatever job that you've had in your life, you've worked with people that you know that do well, right? So if you go to a new job, you want to bring those guys over, ideally. Like, let's say you become a manager. Let's say you're a fucking Joe Schmo over at Autoway. You're working at Autoway, and then all of a sudden here comes Elder Ford, and Elder Ford wants to hire you as the top sales rep, and you want to bring your dudes over from Autoway. You want to say, hey man, look, I want to bring my team here. I want to bring the dudes that I know can perform well.
Okay, that's great, but Tim Jennings can change my oil, but he can't play football.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you don't forget how to change oil. And to an extent, you don't forget how to play football either, but you get worse at it.
I think.
And if you suck, you suck.
I'm just saying from experience, be ready for that shit. Look, John Gruden brought in Ricky Dudley, and he brought in Charlie Gardner, and he brought in all those fucking washed up Tim Brown, all those washed up ass Raiders onto our team. You, The same thing happened with Lovie Smith, and you know, and look at
But instead we got Chris Conte and Tim Jennings. Actually,
right,
Conte
but
wasn't too bad.
Greg
but,
Schiano, yeah. Greg, look how many Rutgers guys Greg Schiano brought in, and then.
That was even worse because those guys never made it in the NFL.
Right.
That was like.
I'm just saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Roddy White.
A few is okay, but let's not fill our team with them. Let's go get some new blood in the draft and maybe a few here and there in free agency, but don't fill our fucking team with former players just because you coached them once.
We don't know. I mean, Jason Light has full control, so I mean, I guess he's got the final say over everything.
Fucking, that makes me feel so much better.
I hope so. I don't know.
I like Jason Light a lot. I think he's done some really good things. But I don't think people gave Lovey the credit for some of those players that we brought in that succeeded.
Right.
I don't think it was all Jason Light. As much as I didn't like Lovey for a lot of the things he did, and he did have some hits. We had a lot of misses.
Yes, he had some hits,
though.
There
was some hits. And
he had control. Lovey had control over the final say over the roster.
And the roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, those were his doing as well.
Yeah.
James Winston, that was his doing. Quan Alexander, that was his doing as well.
I like Mike Smith as a hire. He ran some pretty good defenses. Really good defenses in Jacksonville. I like him as a hire. I think the fact that he's a former head coach, I don't know. They did the same shit with Leslie Frazier, and that didn't work out. I don't think that means really anything. Just because he was a head coach is going to make him a better coordinator.
No,
I think,
it doesn't.
No.
But let me bring this up to you. That really doesn't make a difference when you're talking about a guy like Lovie Smith and bringing in a Leslie Frazier, especially when Lovie Smith is a defensive minded guy.
Right.
But when Raheem Morris took over the team, he brought in Jeff Jagodzinski, who was a head coach over Boston College, who developed I forget who. Oh, Matt Ryan. He developed Matt Ryan. And he brought in a defensive coordinator as well that had a lot of experience. And a lot of people praised those moves because Raheem was surrounding himself with veteran leadership, or at least guys that have been there before. So I think Mike Smith was kind of a no-brainer because of the...
Yeah, and it was immediate, too. Like, as soon as Coder got hired, like, oh, yeah, we have a defensive coordinator,
yeah.
Mike Smith.
He's a solid defensive coordinator, and he has that head coaching experience. He can kind of guide Cutter along. He's got that relationship already established with Dirk Cutter. I think that it's nothing but good can come of that. I think that is an excellent hire, and it's
probably
the one
a little awkward, don't you think?
Like, yeah.
I used to be your offensive coordinator, and now I'm your head coach.
The
like,
student
coach,
is now
the
master.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome. Hello, Mike
Welcome
Smith.
To the Thunderdome.
Mike Smith walks into his office. Dirk Cutter turns around in a giant leather chair like, hello.
Hello,
petting,
Mike. Good to see you again.
A white cat. Hello, Mike Smith.
Yeah.
Would you like to coach my defense? Yeah. Mike's like, what the fuck? Like,
what are you talking about,
what's
Dirk?
What's going on?
And he like turns on the light. And he's like, would you like to be the defensive coordinator?
Yeah. You want to coach my team? Okay, I guess. Yeah. I'm not doing anything else.
I'm... caution. I don't even want to say I'm optimistic. I'm not fucking optimistic for the coming season for the Bucks. I'm just not. I don't see why I should be.
No, you're right. And I don't think I am either. I don't see us having a great record next season. I think 6 wins would be amazing next year.
People are going to be calling for Dirk's head already.
Oh God, yes. Oh God, yes. Yeah, yeah. Six wins. Oh God, yes. But still, with the hire of Dirk Cutter, and I said this to Jonathan. He came over to watch the games with me this weekend, and him and his lovely girlfriend, and Nick and his lovely wife, they all came over last weekend to watch the games. And I said this to Jonathan. I'm like, whenever we hire a new head coach, it's not that I'm that I like him, but there's always this thought in my mind like, okay, maybe this is the guy. This could be the guy that actually does it and like turns us around and like makes everything happen and all the wheels turn the right way and all the cylinders fire at the same time. Maybe this is the guy. So I have that feeling with Dirk Cutter. However, I don't think next year is going to be a really good year for us.
I do think there's something to be said for continuing, you know, on offense, keeping the same system for Winston and all the other guys. You know, I think there's something to be said for that. I really do. I think it's nice that they're not going to have to change everything around again. But I don't see why were expected to fucking have this big, gigantic turnaround all of a sudden. Right.
Hey, look, if Mike Smith can improve slightly upon the defense and then the offense that we had last year can improve, then I have no reason to believe that we can achieve an 8-8 record.
My favorite thing that he harped on in Mike Smith's press conference was penalties.
Yeah.
And his defenses in Atlanta backed that up.
That's
they
beautiful.
Really did. They were really good at being disciplined. And that I would love to if we come out and we're like and we go from like one of the most penalized teams in the league to even like middle of the pack to below middle, you know what I mean? Like towards
and
the back.
Yeah.
I'd be ecstatic because we haven't had that in I don't know how long. I just want a team that fucking has a good head on their shoulders, man. That wins you games. I really think it does.
Yeah, limit the mistakes. So
yeah, don't shoot yourself in the foot so much because we can't afford to.
I hope we see improvements like that next year. A little, like a small improvement on the defense. I hope we see the direction
continue to progress.
Yeah, if we go out and lay a fucking egg like Lovey did in his first year and win two to three games,
it's gonna be pandemonium.
Right? Oh God, fire cutter first year.
If Winston goes downhill and the team goes downhill, it's going to be, oh my God, this fan base is going to fucking implode.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be over.
that's the thing, dude. Like,
because we're like, we thought we had it solved. We thought Dirk was the savior.
Winston. And if Winston struggles, I can see it now. Nobody's going to blame Winston. They're all going to blame Dirk Cutter.
He had four shitty games to end the year, man.
Yes, he did. He played
he
terrible.
He really did. And people chalk that up to, like, the rookie wall and all that kind of stuff. And I guess. I mean,
yeah, that's fine.
No, it's growing pains. I can admit that.
That's valid. He's a rookie. I mean,
he is a rookie. It's a valid excuse, but let's not act like it didn't happen.
Yeah, it totally happened.
Yeah, I watched it happen. I watched every game, and I wanted to slit my wrist.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's got to come out. Jameis Winston has to come out next year and play better than he did last year. And
we need him some more weapons, man.
That's the bottom fucking line. He's got to come out next year and play better.
No excuses. Time to fucking go get some wins.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. Enough is fucking enough. We can't. You have to start winning football games. Talk is cheap. Look, Coder said it. The only thing people give a shit about is wins and losses.
Yeah, look at any...
At the end of the day.
Any franchise quarterback. Go look at Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Go look at any franchise quarterback. Go look at your Eli Mannings. Go look at your Cam Newtons. They got better year after year. So if Winston doesn't do that, then he's a bust.
I agree with you, Derek. We should go. Derek in the Mixler chat says we should go get Alshon Jeffrey. Oh, I think we should, too.
That's a pipe dream.
I think him and Mike Evans would be great.
I think I think Mike Smith needs to talk to Mike Evans and tell him to get his shit together and start hitting the jugs.
You start using some stick'em.
Yeah. Use some stick'ems, hit the jugs machine, do something, man. Get your shit together. That guy.
Dude, and who knows if Vincent V-Jax is going to be back. That
I
would
hope
suck
so.
To lose him because you saw how much the offense struggled without him. And ASJ needs to get his shit together. As much as I like him, he's not living up to much at all.
I hope he does. I called him a bust.
And if we don't bring back Martin, I think Martin coming back is going to be key. I hope he comes back.
Nah, I'm. You know what, Martin doesn't concern me too much.
Really?
Yeah.
He is a running back, so I think like when is he going to hit that wall?
It'll
you know
hurt.
I mean that all running backs hit.
Right.
I thought he hit it like 2 years ago.
Me too.
But he came back this year and came around, and I was like, oh wow. You know, Dougie's back, but who knows how long he'll be like that.
It'll hurt us if we lose him. I like Charles Sims as well. I think if we lose him, we'll go out and draft another guy, and I'm fully prepared to lose him.
I think this draft is going to be extremely defense heavy, though. It has to be.
As much as I like the dog on DAE, Derek Brooks always says something, and so does Steve Dumag. They say something that's very poignant, and it makes a lot of sense. And if you're good... Teams will find a way to keep you. If you're a free agent, then there's a reason why you're a free agent. So, food for thought.
Derek. Dalvin Cook in 2017. You know what? Let's just go draft the entire fucking 2013 Florida State Seminole Championship team. Fuck it. Let's fire Dirk and go get Jimbo Fisher. Let's fucking do it. Come on.
Hey.
Fucking, we'll do chops in the stadium. It'll be fucking awesome.
Hey,
to have a team full of fucking Florida State Seminoles. It'll be great. Who can fucking A? God, the Tampa Bay Seminoles. It's what it's becoming. Everybody wants Dalvin Cook. Everybody wants.
Who was Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ Almighty. University.
No, I won't breathe, Derek. I'm just gonna fucking suffocate.
You say that, sir. Let's see. But do you remember like the teams that the University of Miami used to field?
Yeah, the teams that no one gave a shit what happened off the field because they won every fucking game by like 40 points.
Yeah, hold
those
on.
Teams.
I gotta pause the shit again. It's once again going into the theme. Hold on, 2 seconds.
Still hear me, Kyle?
Yeah, I can. Okay. I just completely fucked up. Yeah, dude. Oh god. I wish I need to find this roster that the Hurricanes used to field. Ridiculous.
It was an NFL team. Hold on. I'll find
it. I'm looking for it right now. I'm looking for it. The 2002
Miami Hurricanes.
I think it was the 2002. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Let me just go down this.
What are you on, Wikipedia?
This roster. Your quarterback was Ken Dorsey. Yeah.
Oh, he didn't really do anything after the call.
Your fullback was Kyle Kobia.
I don't recognize that name.
Here we go. Your running back was Willis McGahee.
Great.
Your wide receiver was Andre Johnson. Your tight end was Kellen Winslow Jr.
And I think they had Jeremy Shockey at one point.
Yeah, and Jeremy Shockey. On defense, this isn't even the crazy one. On defense, your linebackers were DJ Williams and Jonathan Vilma. Your cornerbacks were Entrell Roll, Kelly Jennings, and then your free safety was Sean Taylor.
Jesus fucking Christ. And I'm sure there was a bunch of nice picks along the O-line and the D-line, too. And those Miami teams were fucking stacked.
There was one team that was just absolutely ridiculous. Is this it? This is it. Okay, no, this is it. This is it. All right, Ken Dorsey was still your running back.
Quarterback, you mean?
Your quarterback. Your halfbacks were Najee Davenport and Clinton Portis. Holy shit. Your fucking tight end was Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah.
Wide receiver Andre Johnson.
Yeah. Santana Moss was on one of those teams, I think.
Santana Moss was also on one of those teams. Your offensive lineman was a bunch of dudes. I don't know. They're probably good.
Bunch of dudes.
They were probably good, I'm sure. Linebacker still G.J. Williams and Jonathan Vilma. Your free safety was Ed Reed. And fucking...
just fucking... Like, is that fair?
No.
Like, is that really fair? Anybody supposed to beat them? Ohio State did that one year in the championship, and that's only because of a blown call. Like, Miami had that game won, and they fucking blew it for them.
Yeah.
But, like, what a fucking ridiculous roster.
Miami's rosters over the years was just...
And now they're just average like everybody else.
Yeah, I know.
How the mighty have fallen.
The Larry Coker years of Miami. Just
he wasn't even a coach.
They were
have you watched
so
the 30
awesome.
For 30 on that?
No,
shit?
What was it?
Because Butch Davis left that team, because he's the one that put that team together, was Butch Davis.
Right.
He leaves for the NFL. I forget which job. I think it might have been Cleveland.
He went to the Browns,
What a mistake. And Larry Coker, and the players basically hired the coach. They're like, just fucking hire Coker and we'll coach ourselves. Like, just have Coach Coker be a chaperone. And that's what they did. And they almost won a championship. Like, I think they did win a championship.
They did win a championship,
They almost won two in a row.
2002, they won the goddamn...
He was a fucking babysitter. That team coached itself.
Wait, did they win?
What are you supposed to... Yeah, I got this. Don't worry about it. It's fucking, like, a team full of NFLers in college. That's like putting a Pro Bowl team in fucking college. Those guys were all Pro Bowlers, most of them.
Wait, I think they lost the national championship to Ohio State. In 2000.
Didn't they play in one before that? I think they did. They played like two in a row, and they lost the second one, I think.
2000, they won the Sugar Bowl against Florida.
Oh, yeah, they kicked our ass. I was
Big
watching.
I think that is the – did they win the national championship?
That wasn't it. Was it a natty? No, I don't think it was.
No.
I know they won one. They had to.
But that's crazy. They only lost one game that year, but Florida was ranked number 7th. They were ranked number
Like in the 30 for 30, it's the U part 2. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it. It's pretty cool. I think they got shafted out of that game, like the championship game, for whatever reason.
Let's see.
I think they had like an early season loss or something like that.
University of Miami National Championships. Let's see. I don't know. Football National Championships. I don't know.
So to wrap it up. I guess the Rays signed Steve Pierce today.
Oh, yeah, we're going way over time. Yeah, the Rays.
We are. Just quickly, signed Steve Pierce. He was a Ray killer, one for the Orioles, but maybe that'll carry over. Who knows?
Last year out of Out of 294 at-bats, he had 40 RBIs. He had an on-base percentage of – oh, no, no. What was his OBP? OBP of 289. On-base plus slugging was 711. So that's a good guy to put in the middle of your lineup. That's a good guy.
It's pretty fucking cool, too. He's from Lakeland. That's cool.
Especially
you
now
that he gets to come home.
We've re-signed Logan Forsyth. We've got James Loney still on the roster. We've got an Evan Longoria still on the roster. Now
I really like signing Forsyth. That was great.
Yeah, that was a good sign. And if Kevin Kiermaier can improve... I'm liking the Rays next year. I'm not saying that we're going to go out and win the fucking division, but I'm just liking the team that we're putting together on the field.
AL East is pretty open, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of unknowns. We'll see. You know, the Rays are the Rays. It's a long-ass season baseball.
Yeah.
It really is.
The thing is like if Alex Cobb can come back and be dominant like he was in the past, he's gonna have a few shaky starts, but if Alex Cobb can come back in, what, I think like mid-June or June or July, something like that.
Whenever, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like mid-season, late season, or, you know, something like that. I think it's mid-season he's going to come back.
Yeah, we'll see.
If he can come back strong... And if Matt Moore can continue his what he did last year, if Chris Archer can be who he was last year, if Jake Odorizzi can be who he was last year.
If we can just get, like, middle-of-the-pack offense.
Yeah, and if we could just kind of squeeze out a little bit of offense every game.
Like, maybe just average, like, maybe, like, 17th, 18th.
I don't know, man. I like it. I like that we make enough moves to kind of stay in the mix. So we're going to be in the mix next year. I don't know how long or how deep into the season we'll be in the mix, but at least we'll have a... There'll be a team worth watching out there.
I don't think we'll fall apart like we did last year.
No.
We remember we were like 10 games over 500, and then it just all kind of came undone. And that was because we were just playing way above our potential last year.
Yeah.
I like all the moves they've made so far. I don't think they're done. We'll see. Maybe a trade here and there, something like that. But I don't know. I like the direction they're heading. I like Kevin Cash. I think he's still got stuff to learn, but I think the Rays are in good hands. And, well, you know, we'll see where it goes. And I think, and it's nice that they got the stadium deal done too. You know, that's nice.
Yeah.
At least we can kind of start to put that behind us a little. I know it's still going to be around, but.
Nope. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Well,
in my opinion.
Whatever the steps are, let's hope we can get through them.
Yeah. Well, we've taken the first step. And I think at that point, now it's where the stadium's going to be and who's going to fund it. So once they'll find the place, and I think they'll find the place fairly quickly, and by fairly quickly, I mean between this year and next year.
Right.
And at that point, it's going to become, okay, who's going to pay for it? And then that's going to be the next big hurdle to cross. That's going to be another few years before we get to that point.
Yep.
So
all right, I think that's Word of the Bay this week. We always do long podcasts when me and you get together. It's always fucking long.
You want to get out of here, don't you? You want to watch the rest of that game.
Oh, it's not. I got to take a piss.
Oh, yeah. I've been there before, sir.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I mean, you said we were getting close to time.
You're right. No, we're over time, so we can call it a podcast. Let me get this out real quick. Make sure you go to sharkdropper.com. Check out all of our podcasts. We have 10 of them available to you. If you like what I do and if you like what Nick does, we have a lot of podcasts that we do. We review video games.
They're all really good.
They're all really good. Yeah, we do fictional podcasts. We do everything. If you want to hear me rant and rave on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, or just I do a solo podcast. I do it every week. I'm going to try to do it every week. You can hear Little While with Kyle. You can hear it on Patreon. You go to sharkdropper.com next to the home button. That's a Patreon button. You can click that. It's not just that podcast. There's a lot of different stuff that we try to put on there to give you guys a little bit more incentive to donate to us. So
it's worth it, man. There's some cool stuff on there. I think you guys just put up something with a child actor today.
There's a child. Yeah, Robert put up something with a little child actor. Had a few like crazy takes for one of our podcasts. So you can hear that too.
Take it from somebody who's not part of Shark Dropper. I'm just kind of a friend. It's all the shit's good, man.
Hey,
give it a listen.
If you get yourself a microphone and you know, continue the Sunbelt podcast, I don't know, we'll see.
It's hard to do by myself,
man. I know. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
You got to take it. Like, anyways, okay.
You're good at it, man.
I try.
You're good. No, like I was like, wow. I was expecting you to like stutter a lot and like be like, oh god, like what am I gonna say? But no, dude, you fucking, and that's probably because you listen to Bill Burr a lot.
Yeah,
it's like, how the fuck are ya?
How are ya? The fucking Lightning.
Just checking in on you,
ladies. Okay. But it is, that is where I get it from. And
one more quick thing. Have you watched F is for Family?
Oh, God. I'm like a few. I love that show. It's a great show.
I just finished the first season. Fucking love it. Yeah, awesome show.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Awesome show. Funny as hell. I will put you through that fucking wall.
Have you watched? Do you watch BoJack Horseman?
I've watched a few episodes. I like it. It's pretty funny.
Dude, watch the first season. That's all I got to say. It takes, if you've watched a few episodes, give it a few more because it takes a little while for it to really pick up. But like usually mid to late season, oh, God, it's a really good show. It's a really, really good show.
Yep. So I'll give it a shot, man.
Keep watching it. Keep watching it.
Will do, man.
Okay. Guys, stay tuned on Patreon. I'll do more of those little solo podcasts. I don't know if people like them, but I'm going to keep doing them because I like doing them. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio for hosting us. Thank you to Audible.com for sponsoring us. And go Lightning. Go Lightning. Fucking Lightning. That has been more to the Bay for this week. I am Kyle.
I'm Anthony.
See you next week. Okay, all right. Bonus content at the end of the podcast, because I just realized that I did not give out my picks for the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship, and I know Nick would kick my ass if I didn't do that. So, without further ado, this is what I think: Broncos and Patriots. I think that the you never bet against the Patriots, as I said in the podcast. You never bet against the Patriots. I think Peyton Manning's a little too old. That defense can't hold up against Tom Brady. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close game. Patriots going to win it. A lot of people don't know. They're 2-2. The Broncos and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, they're 2-2 against each other in AFC and NFC or AFC championships. So. I'm gonna go with the Patriots. I'm gonna think the Patriots are gonna go back to the goddamn Super Bowl. And finally, the Panthers against the Cardinals. It's gonna be the Panthers. I mean, it's like a preordained matchup. You know, it's gonna be a rematch of the 2004 Nipplegate. Hopefully, the dude from Coldplay rips off Beyonce's titty and reveals her nipple to the entire watching, viewing audience of America on CBS. And then the whole place goes apeshit again. The FCC goes rampant. And, you know, we have all manner of Chris Martin from Coldplay. Hope Chris Martin rips Beyonce's titty balls off and during the halftime show. And it's just like a repeat of the whole Super Bowl. And the Patriots win. At this point, I'd rather see the Patriots win over anybody. If it's between, I don't know. Fuck it. Who cares? Anyways, yeah. There's my picks. There's your bonus content. Go fuck yourselves.
We're above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
The following podcast is a Sharp Dropper Studios production.